This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel, and I am sitting in for Maggie on this Friday afternoon. We are talking all about democracy once again. We're talking about the rule of law. We're talking about justice in America. Appreciate very much the involvement in our discussion of my friend, my colleague, his name John Vaudrey, former U.S. attorney. Under the Obama administration, working for Eric Holder, as did I here in the state of Wisconsin. John Vaudrey, now affiliated with this group that works on democracy issues, in particular, this notion that somehow that elections in the past have been stolen, compromised in some way. The group CORE, Keep Our Republic, which John represents and does work on behalf of, providing information and practical insight into why that simply isn't true, and encouraging people to have confidence in the elections in our nation, including right here in the state of Wisconsin. John, thanks again for joining me here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I am joined here in the studios of Civic Media here in Racine Park by my wonderful producer. His name is Jacob. And together we are taking your questions, not only about our discussion with John, but of course about Supreme Court cases as well. That phone number here is 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to go to that right now. We appreciate very much Cam calling in from Appleton. Cam, thank you for joining us in the afternoon. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for being a part of our discussion.
Thank you for taking my call. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday to you, too.
Listening to that last hour was actually very frustrating, because I think that for the most part, those are really good guidelines to follow for, like, common sense and applying it to how realistically could that happen? It's kind of like the Bigfoot or UFOs, right? Like, where you say, in an age where everyone has a cell phone that can zoom 100 times, how is there not a clear photo of Bigfoot or aliens? It's kind of like that.
Right.
But when
the notion is that what John and I were talking about was just, and actually when we were in court on a routine basis, we would sometimes argue this to courts and to juries. You know, if you've got this many people involved in an enterprise this extensive, in this case it's voting at a very local level, the notion that there could be widespread fraud has got to be discarded. Why? Because in the end, it would require a conspiracy, quite literally, whether it's tens of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people, everybody getting together to say something, do something, and report on something that would require all of these folks, every single one of them, to engage in a conspiracy, in this case of silence, as you're sort of indicating. It's just too much to believe. But Cam, go ahead with your comment or your question. Why was this frustrating to you? Cam? All right, Cam apparently no longer with us. And we've got again, we'll take phone calls from anyone here, 855-752-4842. Cam apparently back on the line. Let's finish up our conversation with Cam, and then we're going to move on to Supreme Court cases as well. Cam, we dropped you for just a moment or so, but wanted to make certain we've got an opportunity for you to join in our conversation this afternoon, your thoughts or comments upon elections.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. So Rockland County, New York has a case open right now that has just entered discovery, where they're looking to get some of the source code for the voting machines and the Starlink stuff, because the Starlink satellite at modems, because the machines, it really needs to stop being parroted that they're not connected to the internet, because in some ways they are. Every single voting machine in the U.S. has a wireless modem in it for performing updates, and they can be connected to the internet. The fact that they have these at all, I'm telling you as an IT expert, it makes them not safe, period. And the machines themselves do not have tamper-proof cabling inside of them.
Okay,
so,
and Cam,
that court case is proceeding.
Good. All right. So we've got a court case out there, and so the question discovery is all about determining, as John Vaudrey and I are saying, let's get the evidence, right? Your point is simply, if it is out there, let's see what can be produced. That's what discovery is all about. No findings yet.
One piece.
And right. And it's that aspect to it. I will tell you, the voting machines that I work with routinely do not have those kinds of of connections. I see it all the time. It was done by the court clerk. But Kim, appreciate your participation in our program this afternoon. And we'll continue to focus on the integrity of elections in America. Appreciate your commitment to all of that. We also have Len calling in from Madison. Len, appreciate you too being a part of our discussion this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Hey, I got this Uncle Terry that's a big MAGA guy. He's also a poll worker, and I have a little bit of trouble arguing with him when it comes to his having that kind of inside expertise. And he was throwing some of the same stuff that I think it was Kim just said. Yes. About the security of the systems. But a couple of the things he brought up that I had no response to, and I figured maybe you could set me straight on it. He received a notification from his employment several years ago that somebody had gotten ballots in his name and had voted in a local election that he wasn't interested in voting in and had no interest in, and didn't find out till a couple of years later when he got this notification from his union, from their lists or whatever, about which elections he had participated in. And somebody on two occasions had stolen his vote and he didn't have anything to do about it. And talking about my grandfather in another situation, he was detailing some information about how my grandfather hadn't voted in any elections in many, many, many years. But when he had gone online on the My Vote or whatever to check, well, sure enough, he had obtained an absentee ballot, which he didn't really obtain, supposedly, and that had been returned. And now it's sometime after the fact. And I was telling him, hey, if that's the case, you could just get that vote back and it wouldn't count.
Right.
And you probably need some ID to get that thing in the first place. You can't just go online and order it, you know, where it would show up in the mail at the nursing home.
Right.
And somebody could take it out of the mail. So you can't just order up an absentee ballot over the internet.
Right. In someone else's name with their address, again, here in the state of Wisconsin, right?
No. In the name, like somebody from the nursing home could go and say, hey, oh, here's a guy that doesn't vote. I'll just go online.
No, that's right.
That shows up in the mail. I take it out and return it, and nobody will know the better.
Right. Yeah. All kinds of things. Again, I have many, many questions about your grandfather and your uncle, of course, about those circumstances. And again, as we're talking, it depends. Again, you need to follow up and ask them specific questions about, again, are you registered to vote? All kinds of securities in place. Have you voted? Did you ask for an absentee ballot? If so, did you receive that? And I will tell you from my own personal experience, again, serving for many years now in a municipality here in Milwaukee in the area, all kinds of checks and balances, all kinds of notations inside the delivery and the mailing of ballots, the return of them, checking to determine, obviously, when people come in to vote, that they are indeed the person who is voting there. Registration is very tight. You fill out a form. You've got to certify all kinds of things related to your present residence here. And that's not to say that from time to time something irregular happens. But I would encourage you, Len, to ask your uncle or your grandfather to follow up on those things. If they've gotten some indication that somehow there is something that went awry, that's when you go to your court clerk and say, I'm looking at something. Plainly, if the representation is true, I didn't vote and I want to figure this out. I want to make certain that indeed your records are accurate, that whatever needs to be corrected is corrected. And you can be assured that the court clerk, certainly here in Wisconsin, and I believe in all the other states in this country, will also take that seriously. As I said in my own accounting about how this works, we look at every single ballot. And if there is something that's irregular about it, we track that down to make certain that there is no fraud. And indeed, if there are those circumstances, for example, where an absentee ballot gets in someone else's hands, that's the kind of thing that a court clerk needs to know about, because he or she is responsible for the integrity of the overall system. So my recommendation to you, Len, is when you have that conversation with your relatives, ask them for more detail and ask them again to go back to the court clerk and ask for more clarity on what happened, when it happened. The upshot is that this does not happen with great frequency, and again, this notion that there is widespread fraud in such a way, as John Vodrey and others were affirming here, such widespread fraud that the entire election is skewed. And therefore, for example, the use of the machines somehow corrupts the entire system. It does not. And again, the courts of law have taken a look at this with respect to the 2020 election. We may get more of them now as this issue resurfaces. And they once again will do what? They'll go into court and take evidence, sworn evidence. We'll do all the discovery that Cam was talking about before. We'll find out what the truth is. And if indeed there is one or two instances out there where something happened that should not have happened, identify that and correct it. The upshot is highly, highly, highly unlikely that there will be any evidence of widespread fraud. Len, appreciate very much your contributions to our conversation this afternoon. As we continue to talk about the integrity of our voting systems, about the integrity of our systems generally in America related to the rule of law and the application and the administration of justice here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We are going to continue in this segment and future segments here in this afternoon of Friday, talking about the United States Supreme Court. Once again, hearkening back to our discussion in the first segments of the first hour to this major decision. Arguably, there are many cases decided. One of the, if not the most important decision with respect to process and procedure in America going forward. The case is Trump, President of the United States, versus CASA, C-A-S-A. Plaintiffs, who are individuals and organizations and states, filed three separate lawsuits to enjoin the implementation and the enforcement of the president's executive order. That was the order that he issued on the first day of his presidency, identifying circumstances in which a person born in the United States, not subject to the jurisdiction thereof, he's using there the language of the 14th Amendment, and thus not recognized as an American citizen. That was what the executive order basically said. The plaintiffs alleging, of course, that violates the clear language and the purpose of the 14th Amendment. Each of those cases, the district court agreed with them, and they entered also these universal injunctions, across-the-board injunctions, barring executive officials from applying the executive order to anyone across the nation, not just the plaintiffs. And that was the focus of what the Supreme Court was focusing on in its order announced today. In every single case, Court of Appeals also denied the government's request to stay the imposition of this sweeping relief. The government argued then that the lower courts lacked the authority to impose this universal relief and therefore went to the Supreme Court. The applications did not raise, and thus the court did not address whether or not the president's interpretation was accurate or not, but did apply some rules and regulations and thoughts on this universal application. We'll talk more about that when the Maggie Dawn Show continues here on Civic Media.